1.1 KCFN American Family Radio for Wichita, South Central Kansas, and anywhere else on planet Earth. I am joined in studio by Natalie Wickham, and Natalie has spent either all of her school days or primarily all of her school days in homeschool. And she's written a book called Pajama School, and you've got to see the cover on this. It grabs you right away. There's a lot of light blue and a bunch of feet asking the question, you know, do you go to school in your pajamas? The website's pajamaschool.com. And Natalie, good afternoon. Welcome to the program.
Hey there, Tom. Thanks for having me.
Listen, I'm glad you're here. Had one of our listeners to contact me and say you need to talk to this young lady, and you are very much involved in homeschooling in the Wichita area. And if you would, kind of give us a little bit of your background.
Sure, yeah. Well, my official schooling actually started in Germany when I was in kindergarten. And at that time, my mom got a little bit concerned that when we got back to the States that I wouldn't be up to par with the kids going to school here. So she did a little bit of homeschooling very unofficially at that point. But then once we moved back here to the States, my dad was stationed here at McConnell Air Force Base. And so we went to a little Christian school for 3 years. And then after that, my parents, after a lot of prayer and just seeking the Lord about it, decided to go ahead and pull us out and start our journey into homeschooling. So that's what I did for, well, ever since then, fourth grade on up.
Okay, you just said pull us out, so that you and I guess some brothers or sisters.
Right. At the time, it was just three of us, myself and then two of my sisters. And now there are six total, so we've added three since then. Well, Mom and Dad, I didn't really have anything to do with that.
How many kids are still of schooling age that your folks are homeschooling?
There are three.
Okay.
Yes. One of them's going to be graduating this year. She's a senior. And then Naomi is in ninth grade, and Joey's in sixth grade, pretty sure. Homeschooling, you kind of lose track of grades. Which subject?
Natalie, I'm going to get ahead of myself. I'm thinking about the homeschool expo.
Oh, yeah.
But before we get into that, what has it been like? I mean, a lot of people nowadays, homeschool is not this unique thing that no one's ever heard of.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember the church I grew up at when they started a Christian school. And I didn't go to it, but the first senior class had one girl in it.
Wow.
And that was kind of along the same lines of thinking that, well, this was something really radically different.
Mm-hmm.
Give us your experience of growing up, because there's always the questions about, if we homeschool our kids, how are they going to do socially? You know, how are they going to develop these skills about sharing and interacting and practicing good social skills? What about playing sports? What about the beta club? What about being involved in activities? I mean, just give us your kind of experience and all that.
Right, yeah. Well, I know when we first started homeschooling, it was definitely not as popular as it is now. And so it was, you know, still a little more hush-hush. We had to stay home, you know, throughout the day. And then gradually, as it became more and more accepted, then it wasn't such a big deal for us to be seen out in public during the school day. But even through all of that time, my parents just did such a great job providing opportunities for us and letting us be involved in the community, volunteering at the library, working at our church with different events. And I just feel like for myself and my sisters and brother, in so many ways, it's provided a lot of additional opportunities because we don't have the constraints that a traditional school setting does with the classroom where you have to spend the majority of your time. We had a lot of flexibility in our schedule so that we could pursue different interests that we had and focus on those and really just do a lot of self-learning along the way.
That, the further on you get in college, that is a lot of what you do,
mm-hmm.
is self-learning. I spent 8 years working graphic design,
mm-hmm.
and I learned that after I'd been an insurance agent for almost six,
yeah.
Out as a young adult, mm-hmm. going back and basically self-learning.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's one of the big things that I've valued about my homeschool experience is that I don't feel like education has to be limited to schooling. You know, so often people who grow up in a traditional school setting feel like in order to learn, you need to be in a school setting. And I think that just the idea of being able to tap into the resources that are out there and seeing that there are so many other ways to learn and to increase your education, that you can pursue those outside of a traditional school setting has been really valuable.
I'm thinking of some friends back in Kentucky, gentleman I refer to as my mentor. He and his wife homeschooled their son Ben, and I guess he's probably about 10 or 11 now.
Mm-hmm.
And she takes care of some of the subjects, and he takes care of some of the
mm-hmm.
subjects. So Ben has school sometimes during the day, and sometimes
mm-hmm.
he has it at night.
Mm-hmm.
So there is that flexibility because they have to be able to work with the schedule of what Bob or Kim happen to be doing.
Mm-hmm. Right, yeah, there is definitely that flexibility, and really even just the idea that education takes place as a part of life. I mean, it kind of amazes me to think that somewhere along the road here, somebody kind of arbitrarily decided, well, when you're in second grade, you should know this, when you're in third grade, you should
mm-hmm.
know that, instead of really just having a focus of, you know, like God talks about as we walk through life, you know, as we sit down, as we stand up, as we walk along the way, learning his commands, learning to obey him and to fear him, and understanding that all knowledge, all wisdom, all understanding comes from him. And so that takes place in everyday life, in the events that transpire. And so education is certainly not limited to schooling or a classroom. It's so much everyday life.
What's that done? Now, has this been this was your mom, because you said your dad's in the Air Force.
Mm-hmm.
So it's been your mom homeschooling you and your brother and your sisters.
Mm-hmm.
What's that done for your relationship with your mom?
Well, it's definitely improved it, for sure. Our first year of homeschooling was not pretty. We started out and had a lot of conflict, a lot of tears, and it was not easy. We started out kind of having in our mind what school should look like, since we had been in a classroom setting for 3 years, and so it was kind of weird. Now we're going to school in our basement in this special room, and so we stood at the front and did our Pledge of Allegiance to the flags, and then started about our schoolwork, and that fell apart pretty quickly because it just was not practical, not realistic, and ultimately not really what God had in mind for our family. And so we went through a big paradigm shift, just trying to understand what God's model is for education instead of just patterning what we were doing after what the culture taught or what we knew by experience. Instead, really saying, okay, Lord, let's start from scratch and say, what does education look like to you? What should it look like for our family?
Did you feel weird having three of you standing up saying the Pledge of Allegiance? I mean, I'm just saying in the beginning, because I would imagine you'd say, well, no, it's not weird, but we don't do the pledge now. I'm trying to put myself in your shoes, and because I can only imagine me, especially as a kid or as an adolescent, thinking, this is weird. There's only three of us in here.
Right.
Come on.
Yeah. You know, it's hard to remember way back to then. I'm sure my sisters and I rolled our eyes at each other or that sort of thing, going, what are we doing? This is crazy. But it grew on us. And, you know, we definitely learned much more about what it means to be a family. You know, we talk a lot about just the fabric of our society being based on families and
mm-hmm.
the need to restore families. And yet so much of the way that we operate our lives still is very fragmented into, you know, our different pursuits day by day. And so we learned what it means to live together, to work together, to go to school together, to play together. Every aspect of our life was together. It was time, you know, one
mm-hmm.
of those things that can never be replaced or substituted.
Well, we think about kids get to a certain age, we send them to school, and then they have activities.
Mm-hmm.
And this is not an indictment of public school or
mm-hmm.
ball games or lessons or any of that thing. We're just, you know, we're making an observation. You have school, and then they have activities afterwards. And then on Sunday morning, for those of us who go to church, then they go to children's church or Sunday school. And so there's so much time that we are not with our children. And I'm thankful, and different places do it different ways. I appreciate some of the churches that do a combination, like for the first half of the worship service, the kids are in the worship service. So they're taking part in singing and some of the more interactive things. And then we visited a couple where they're dismissed then to something more age appropriate for them. And so they get part of learning, you know, I don't want to sound like a stick in the mud, you know, learning about how to behave, because some kids are just, it's obvious they don't know that it is important to try to respect other people around them and be quiet when they're trying to hear, but at the same time participating, because last thing I want is my daughter to go into church and be afraid to move.
Right.
You know, afraid to sing, afraid to express herself, that sort of thing.
Yeah, well, and you know, the other day I was just reading a little bit about the life of Hudson Taylor, who was the founder of the China Inland Mission, and in this particular biography I was reading, I thought it was interesting, the author stated that men tend to discount the early preparation and refinement of a life, but God places great value on this time of making his servants ready for the ministries to which he calls them. And I just got to thinking about how so often we view childhood as such a separated stage of life, and we don't really see it as the preparation time when God is molding these children into what he's going to be doing with them for the rest of their lives. And so it's so critical that they're learning to seek the Lord in that time of their life and spending time with their families and with their parents. You know, you probably heard it said, if you can learn to get along with your family members, you can get along with anyone.
We have a spot running right now, a little kid, it's a kid's prayers to God, and the kid says something along the lines of, God, thank you for loving all of our family members, because I can't ever do it.
So true. Praise the Lord for his love through us. But, you know, one of the philosophies that really has guided my dad's model of our education is just looking at the example that Jesus set when he came to earth and, you know, handpicked his 12 disciples. And if you look at his model of how he trained them, ultimately what he was doing was he invited them to walk with him every day of his life. And then through the circumstances, the events that transpired, he taught them the eternal principles of God's word and God's ways. And so a lot of what our parents tried to do was just invite us to walk with them through life and experience the frustrations day in, day out. You know, we were there when the repairmen came. We were there when they had to pay bills. We learned through their example and through their experience. And I think that really did a lot just to give us a big picture understanding of what life is like and what we need.
Well, that is what I was going to ask you about. I mean, being at school, you know, you leave in the morning before anything happens, and when you get home, you hear your parents talking at night about something that happened during the day. You guys were there to see that.
Right.
Talking about paying bills. I mean, is there then, in your family, has there been acceleration of maturity in some ways because you're spending this time with adults? I mean, I think you can... most of the time you can tell a difference about a person who has a kid or a teenager has spent a lot of time with adults.
Right.
They just seem, bring on my wife right now, she's not in here, but she was mature in a lot of different ways above friends of ours, because she spent a lot of time with adults.
Well, if you think about it, Proverbs says that he who walks with the wise will be wise, but a companion of fools will be destroyed. And when you are in a setting surrounded by a peer group of other young people who are equally foolish with you because you haven't had that foolishness smacked out of you yet by the rod, you know, it says the rod will drive foolishness from the child, then definitely I think you're going to lack some of the wisdom that you would have if you had the opportunity to be in an environment where you have parents or other adults, other people who have more experience in life, and you can learn from them.
Well, that probably helped keep your mom young, too.
Oh, yes.
Hanging out with young people, that's how you stay young, is what
For
I've
sure.
always been told.
For sure.
If you're just tuning in, you're listening to The Home Stretch on 91.1 KCFN. My name is Thomas A., and I'm talking with Natalie Wickham, and you said your dad was stationed at the Air Force Base. Mm-hmm. So did you guys grow up in Wichita or in the area outside mm-hmm. of Wichita?
Yeah, once I was seven, we moved here. So we live in Derby currently.
Oh, okay.
So we actually didn't move around nearly as much as most military families do. I was born in South Dakota and then lived in Germany and then here, and this is where my dad retired.
Wow. So. Yeah, that's, I was about to say, that's not too bad.
Mm-hmm. No, not bad at all.
Well, tell us, AFR, or KCFN and AFR, mm-hmm. Usually each year, let our listeners know about the Homeschool Expo that
yeah.
takes place at the end of May.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm going to go out on a limb and try and remember the friend's name that I spoke with last year. It was Jeff Gorman.
Yes, okay. Yes. Jeff Gorman is our convention director right now.
I did not go look that up. God really did bring that.
Good memory.
Well, the Holy Spirit's going to bring that to your mind, what you need to say when you need to say mm-hmm. it if you're not acting like a numbskull, so
right.
There you go. That's
right.
That's the unwritten part of that verse.
Yeah, our convention this year is May 29th and 30th, and we'll have the adult portion of the convention. Our keynote speakers are Chris Klicka, who's an attorney with the Homeschool Legal Defense Association. Mm-hmm. He'll be addressing different legal issues and then just kind of a lot of the philosophy behind education, home education. And then we're also having James and Stacy McDonald as speakers who run a ministry. I think it's called Reformation Family Ministries. And so we're excited to have them come as well. And then we have an Adventures in Character Children's program for children ages 6 through 12 that runs concurrently with the adult portion of the conference. So kids can come. We're doing a jungle theme this year, so they can come try to escape from the jungle along with a little crew of survivors from a plane crash. So it should
oh,
be a
wow.
lot of fun.
And now that is one thing that you're heavily involved with,
mm-hmm.
is that right?
Yeah,
so
sure am.
Tell us a little bit about that. How many years has, was last year mm-hmm. the first year?
Actually, this is our 10th year of
oh.
Adventures in Character.
Okay, I'm sorry, I was
yeah,
way off.
That's okay. So we started it. It was a group of other homeschoolers and my sister and myself who got together and said, you know, we would love to provide a way for children to come to the convention with their parents so that this can be a family event, and so that as parents get excited and kind of catch the vision for a new year of homeschooling, the kids can be equally excited and, you know, be around others who are homeschooled and really benefit from that interaction. And so after a lot of prayer and under the direction and authority of the Teaching Parents Association, which is the local homeschool group that sponsors the convention, we launched our first year of Adventures in Character, and it's just grown and expanded ever since then.
And this takes place at Century 2.
Mm-hmm. Century 2 downtown.
Is there a website?
Mm-hmm. There sure is. Yeah, teachingparents.org.
Teaching parents.
Mm-hmm. And you can get a convention schedule. We'll be posting workshop schedules. We have all kinds of speakers who share on topics ranging from how to teach math to driver's ed to language arts. So you can kind of get the whole gamut and come fill up with whatever you need for the year. We have over 100 different exhibitors that come and have, you know, great deals on their curriculum, and can shop around and,
excellent.
Of course, visit with lots of other homeschool families, too.
Was your mom, I know you said your mom and dad prayed
mm-hmm.
and trusted God to lead them into this home
mm-hmm.
schooling adventure. Had your mom ever been a teacher? Was she scared about, how am I supposed to teach? Well, I don't know how, you know, she didn't do calculus yet, but
right.
how am I supposed to teach history or
right,
civics or
right.
geography
mm-hmm.
if that's not been anything I ever knew anything about?
Right.
Was she scared?
Oh, yeah. That's an excellent question, because my mom is not a teacher. My mom doesn't particularly enjoy teaching. So it's something that she did more out of just the conviction that this was God's design and this was what he had wanted for our family. This was what he instructed, and also in submission to my dad, who really led the way into it. And so it's still, you know, even still to this day, she would say, oh, I'm such a failure. I don't know anything. I can't teach my kids anything. And I've never met a homeschool mom yet who said, oh, I'm a great teacher. My kids are so blessed to have me. So it's just been, you know, one thing, though, is both my mom and dad really have a love for learning. And they really encouraged us to pursue the areas that we were interested in and provided the resources and the opportunities and challenged us just to seek the Lord and say, okay, Lord, this is what I'm interested in, you know, direct me in the way that you want me to go. And just, they didn't structure every single detail for us. They really let us learn to seek the Lord and depend on him for direction in life.
That is That is humility and wisdom at work, because as a parent, I don't want to structure Abby's steps. I just want to keep her safe.
Mm-hmm.
And that desire to keep her safe, sometimes I think I overstep things where Teresa is better at letting her learn,
mm-hmm.
where I'm, you know, being dad, the protector, you know.
Right.
Let's talk about your book.
Yeah.
Pajama School. And again, you can check this out online at pajamaschool.com.
Mm-hmm.
Stories from the Life of a Homeschool Graduate. So tell mm-hmm. us about your book.
Well, it's definitely not something I ever thought I would write. The idea came really quite suddenly. At the end of 2006, I was thinking and praying about goals for the next year, and I had been especially studying Daniel 12:3, kind of meditating on that, where it says, "They that be wise shall shine as the brightness of the firmament, and they that turn many to righteousness as the stars forever and ever." And I thought those would be two good goals for the following year, to grow in wisdom and to turn many to righteousness. And so I started kind of mapping out some ideas of how I could do that. Then all of a sudden this idea popped into my head, you should write a book. And I thought, well, what would I write a book on? And so I reflected on just a lot of the conversations that I have with families who are either in the early years of homeschooling or families who are considering homeschooling, and just there are so many questions, and they want to know, is this going to work? Are our kids going to turn out okay? And once they find out that I graduated after being homeschooled, they say, oh, well, what about this? What did you do for PE? What did you do for music? You know, did you get off?
I had those questions written down.
Yeah, right. So those are questions everybody has, you know, on top of the, did you get to wear your pajamas to school? Number one on the list. But so this is just kind of my attempt to provide a look into our life as a homeschool family and what it was like. And it's not, you know, to give advice or to provide all the answers, but just to say, here's what the Lord did to transition us into this. Here's what we learned along the way. And just to give encouragement and hope for other people who might be considering that same path for their families.
Okay. Any special way about how the book reads? Is it generally chronological, or is it more subject driven?
Well, it's kind of a mixture of both. It starts out chronologically, but then it kind of delves more into a subject based, just because it was hard to keep everything going chronologically when I got involved in a number of different things that were kind of happening at the same time. It was kind of impossible to do that. So it's, yeah, morphed a little more into a subject oriented, but roughly chronological at the same time.
Is there one overriding challenge that homeschool families face, or two? I mean, there are numerous mm-hmm. ones, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
Is there still a stigma that you run into with people that think, you know, a homeschool education is not as good as a public school or a private school mm-hmm. education? Mm-hmm. Because homeschool kids that go to college, they excel so much.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm just wondering, is that something that your family's had to deal with? Or?
You know, not anymore. We definitely did more in the earlier stages. People would find out we were homeschooled, and they'd kind of look at us like, what does that mean? You know, do you stay locked up in your room all day, or
I
what?
I didn't know anybody that was homeschooled when I was a kid.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, me neither, until we started.
You were the first.
Well, there were others there. I just didn't know about them. But anymore, there have been so many studies and statistics, and of course we have a generation now of people who've grown up being homeschooled that have graduated, that we can really see kind of the proof is in the pudding, mm-hmm. that now they are performing very well in all areas of life, both as citizens of the community and as college students, as business owners, and in a lot of ways just showing that the personalized education you can get as a homeschool student in many ways can be superior to a classroom setting, where, of course, it just, you know, by default, it kind of has to, pointed toward the lowest common denominator. You can't leave anyone behind.
Yeah, that's they call it the curve.
right. So, yeah, I think now it's probably even shifted a little bit more the other direction. You know, when I tell people that I was homeschooled, there's kind of this look like, oh, you were? Wow, that's amazing. Your parents say, oh, wow, I could never do that. Or, you know, that's a little more respect now, I think, because of just the success that there has been, which I just attribute to the Lord's blessing on families that have taken that route.
Well, and again, one of the key things that you said right at the outset was that your mom and dad felt convicted and they prayed. It wasn't just like they said a one-time prayer. I mean, they petitioned God about something they felt was as important as anything in their life, as their kids and their future. Because how they're going to walk with the Lord, it didn't dawn on me until about a week or two ago that one of these days Abby might be one of these wayward kids. I mean, she might be one, the one that you're praying for, like, oh, poor so-and-so's daughter has just gone off, or their son is hooked on drugs. And that can be anyone's child, and this doesn't guarantee that that's not going to happen. But from what you said, your parents have given you guys, and that surprised me a little bit. You have a dad that's in the military. So I'd think you'd be just more tough.
Well, just read the book. You'll see the tough side.
I'm sure I will. I'm about to say, he's probably, you have to go to the principal's office.
Fear and trembling.
There you go.
Yeah, just the heart of parents just really seeking the Lord and saying, okay, Lord, this is an important area. We don't think you've been silent on this. So what does God's word have to say about education? And we've become so saturated by the world's philosophy that we just don't really have much of a concept of what God's idea of education looks like anymore. So that's why we need the word.
Well, listen, I appreciate you, Natalie, and your family, and you guys are ever out and about with your folks, please come by. I'd love to get to meet them sometime.
Yeah.
The book is called Pajama School, and you can go online at pajamaschool.com. Do you want to mention that?
Yeah, definitely.
Sort of thing?
I've got a special coupon code for listeners today, just as a way of saying thanks to Tom for having me in here. It's called The Home Stretch, all one word, just lowercase. So if you go to pajamaschool.com, there's a link to buy the book, and when you get to the checkout process, you'll have an opportunity to enter that code. So I'm going to leave that active through the end of March. So if you want to, you can head that direction and just type in the coupon code, which again is The Home Stretch.
Awesome. Well, Natalie, thanks for coming in. You also you also have a piano studio, is that right?
That's correct.
All right.
Yeah, I have that. And then also for anyone who might be interested in checking out JourneyToSelfPublishing.com, you can kind of follow along the process that I went through to get from the first initial idea of writing a book up into the published stage. And so anyone who has a desire to write a book might find a few helpful tips there.
I bet there are some of the top pastors and Bible teachers in this nation that would love to have known that 30 or 40 years ago.
Yeah, it's quite a journey.
All right, Natalie Wickham. Natalie, thank you for coming in.
Thanks,
we
Tom.
Appreciate you. You are listening to The Home Stretch on 91.1 KCFN, today's Radio for Life.